turn, but I just want to minister the word of the Lord with you a little bit today. And so I pray that you have a Bible, and if you don't, look up on the screen, because we have the word of God for you. This is in Psalm 56. I'm going to look at two verses, verse 4 and verse 10. I want to follow up from last Sunday morning. If you weren't here, I preached a message on the true meaning of praise. And we said it's the celebration of what is written, not necessarily a song service, right? And so let's read Psalm 56, verse 4 together. Ready? Let's read it. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Verse 10. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. That's exactly what I believe praise is all about. Praise is a demonstration of your faith. Praise means to speak out the excellence of God. So when I want to praise the Lord, I'm going to declare His word. That's how I celebrate God. That's how I praise the Lord, is when I fill my mouth with His word. Here's a definition. Literally, praise is a celebration of what is written. I'd like for you to say that with me. Praise is a celebration of what is written. Say it one more time. Praise is a celebration of what is written. Now, why do we need to know that? Because I think for so long in the church, we have viewed song service or singing as praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with that aspect of worship and celebration of God. But when you look to the Bible, the word praise literally can be translated to mean it's a celebration of what is written. And you and I are of a certain clan. You and I are of a certain tribe. That this is our spiritual DNA. Did you know that? Our spiritual DNA is to always celebrate first what God has written. It just comes out of us naturally. And if it hasn't or it isn't currently your forte or what comes out first, then we've got to rediscover our roots. Because if you've been born again, wave at me if you've been born again, all right, that means that you are of a particular tribe that always celebrates what's written first. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us that whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Now look at somebody and you're assuming they're born again. Just tell them that because you're born again, you're an overcomer. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't talk in church. Okay. But anyway, listen to this. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. So faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So I realize that if I'm born of God, I can overcome anything that comes to me. How do I do that? I don't do it in might or power. I don't do it in my own intelligence. I don't do that in my own efforts. But rather, I take the position of faith. Now, faith simply is celebrating what is written. When I begin to celebrate what is written, I can overcome any obstacle that'll present itself to me. In other words, I've just got to learn how to get my praise on. All right? I just need to learn how to begin to speak forth the excellence of God. Because Jesus, in spite of His circumstances, praised God in order to defeat Satan. Are you aware of that? Now, I believe that if the Son of God had to get His praise on in order to defeat the devil, then who are you and I not to get our praise on? Tap somebody and say, you got to praise Him. All right, you got to praise Him. Look at Luke chapter 4. You know this scripture, but I want to read it, rehearse it with you, so you can have an accurate account of what's happening. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days He ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. And the devil said to Him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him and said, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I believe Jesus was praising God in the midst of lack or famine, or in the midst of a temptation to get something that he needed on his own ability. He refused to operate by anything less than faith. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to celebrate what is written. Let's go on. The next temptation came, and it said the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, in verse 5, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And in a moment of time, and the devil said to him, all the authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Say it with me, the next four words. For it is written. What was he doing? He began to extend his faith, which was a celebration of what God said. He began to declare to the temptation and to declare to that which was coming against him, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And Jesus said this, say it with me, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You know what's powerful in that text? The Bible said at that moment the devil left him for a more opportune time. You know what the devil was looking for? The devil was looking for a season or a time in the life of Jesus when he was confronted with struggle or trial and would not praise God in spite of what he was going through. Because that's the only way the devil can defeat you, is if you and I begin to operate outside of true praise. Because when you and I praise God, when you and I begin to celebrate what is written, it doesn't matter what the devil has done. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You are going to see God take over your situation. Because the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The battle belongs to the Lord. So we understand that praise is a method, or celebrating what is written is a method through which divine intervention is provoked. Celebrating what is written is a means through which God takes over your battles. I don't know about you, but I've learned that when I have to battle on my own, I normally don't fare very well. I get weary, I get tired, and most of the time, I'm defeated. But when I take a position that God takes over my battle, I can just stand still and watch the salvation of my God. And all I've got to do is extend my faith, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And I realize that celebrating what is written is an expression of my faith. So I want to continue to understand that that is my spiritual heritage. It is my Savior. It is my King. Jesus himself is a celebration of the written word. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that he was the Word in the very beginning. It tells us also that he was made flesh and dwelt among us. So you see, the Word of God is what brings to us our victory. It's who I am. It's what I've become. It is the DNA of the church. But what's happened to the church? Too many once Judah believers have become nothing more or less than pussycats. We have lost our roar. You and I are of the tribe of Judah. You and I are of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise the Lord. Judah means praise the Lord. Judah means celebrate what is written. And every time Israel had a battle that they were overpowered in, they always sent Judah first. First. Anytime you're up against a struggle, anytime you see the odds against you, anytime you feel like you're not going to be able to break through or make it through, you and I have got to take a position like the kingdom of God of which we are a part and recognize that we belong to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I am a Judah believer. Therefore, I will celebrate what is written. Look at Genesis, please. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. The Bible tells us that the scepter was a symbol of a king, a one who was in control, one who had authority. So a scepter of authority, a rule of authority has been given to Judah. That's why I'm a Judah Christian. I'm a Judah believer. And I refused to be reduced to a pussycat generation who has to go see the psychologist first, who has to have the pastor pray first, who has to get somebody else to give him a handout first. No, wait a minute. I'm of a different stock. I may have to come get prayer, but it won't be the first thing I do. The first thing I do will begin to celebrate God. I'll begin to praise God. I'll fill my mouth with the praise of God. I will celebrate what is written. And then if I have to get prayer from you, I'll call you second. If I become weak in my body, if my physical body becomes ill, if I deteriorate in my health, I may have to go see a doctor. I may have to take a few Tylenol, but it won't be the first thing I do. The first thing I do as a Judah believer is I'm going to celebrate what is written. You see, it's who we are. Revelation 5 and 5 says this, one of the elders said to me, do not weep, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. You and I belong to a tribe called Judah. You say, well, I don't want to be a part of this tribe. Too bad. If you're born again, that's who you are. You have a Judah heritage. You have a Judah spiritual DNA. You and I are of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And you and I operate on the earth the same way Jesus operated on the earth. It is written. Last week I began to talk about how we as a people have begun to fill our mouth with lies. We begin to declare things that God's never said. We say we won't make it. We say we're going to die. We say that our marriage won't last. We say our kids will never know Christ. We say that our cupboards are bare. We say all of these things. And God says, wait a minute. I didn't say that. Why are you celebrating lies? I'm going to celebrate what is written. You and I have got to make a resolve this morning, church. We've got to determine whose side are you on. Who are you as a believer? Who am I? Am I just attending a church on Sunday, kind of filling up some time? Or am I actually a part of the tribe of the Lion of Judah? Nahum 2 and verse 11 asks the question. The prophet said this, where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion walked, the lioness and lion's cub, and no one made them afraid. Nahum has said this, where are the lions in this generation? Where are they where they roared and no one made them afraid? Where are they in churches today? We become fearful, we become intimidated, we become people that are second guessing God's word. Prayer request came in this morning as we were in the prayer room at 9 o'clock. My understanding is it was reported to me that the National Evangelical Lutheran Church has just voted to accept gays as preachers in their movement. Now, I'm not talking about the Lutheran church. I'm talking about the evangelical Lutheran church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know, it is written. And we are succumbing to a generation of pussycats. Of people who don't believe in the Word of God anymore because we've been so intimidated by the majority. Let me tell you something. Get it in your spirit right now. The majority of this generation will not be those who walk as lions. We have lost lionhood. We have lost our roar. We have lost the celebration of what is written. Because of logic. Because of education, because of intimidation, because of political correctness, we have lost our roar. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says this, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous. Hello, righteous, what are we? The righteous are what? As bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, there are people that are trying to tame lions. But you do so with your life in risk. Because at any moment, that lion has a nature about it where it dominates. And its teeth are not made for chewing. Its teeth are designed for tearing. And they swallow their prey whole. Don't give me a plate of tuna fish. I'm not your house cat. I'm not domesticated and can be controlled by a leash. Don't put me on a leash. It'll be the last thing you want to do is put a lion on a leash. You understand what I'm talking about? The church has reduced itself to domesticated cats. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Lift up your hand and say, I'm the righteous.
I'm the righteous.
Say, I am the righteous.
I'm the righteous.
Therefore, I am as bold as a lion.
I'm bold.
You see, that's our position. That's what God's word has declared. I'm a Judah Christian. Look at Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by its own standard, beside the emblems of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, those of the standard of the forces with Judah shall camp according to their armies. Now, a standard was a symbol. It was the expectation. It was the declaration of who was assembled. And the signage or the emblem of the lion of the tribe of Judah was a lioness on her back two legs reaching out with her paws. She wasn't looking for a ball of string to play with. She wasn't looking for some catnip. She wasn't looking for some little rodent to search after and to bring back to your porch step. She was raised up in a crouching position of attack. And God said, I want the first tribe in the east under the rising of the sun to have a standard that is in the position not of defense, but a position of offense. How? By celebrating what God has written. When I praise God, Judah means praise God or praise the Lord. When I praise the Lord, I celebrate what is written. It was written, by His stripes I have been healed. That's what the Bible says. Now, do I go to a doctor? Of course I go. Because God may check out and use the doctor to bring my healing. But it's not the first thing that I do. The first thing I do is fill my mouth with the celebration of what God has written. Praising first. You might want to write this down. Indicates one's soul is in submission to your spirit. Praising first, celebrating what is written first, indicates your soul is in submission to the Spirit. We are a tripart being. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit possessing a soul living in a body. But what often happens is the soul, the mind, will, and emotion, begins to take charge, and the spirit is in submission to our mind, our will, and our emotion. And when circumstances are facing us of great danger or challenge, our soul will always look for some way out with some intuitive way of coming up with a defense. But when the Spirit is in charge, when you're walking by your Spirit, being led by your Spirit, the Bible tells us that those who are of the tribe of Judah, the first thing you do when you're under attack is you begin to celebrate what God has written. So therefore, praise is the first indication that a person's soul is in submission to the Spirit. So I've always got to ask myself, am I responding as a spiritual being or am I responding as a soulical carnal being? Under what standard am I camping? The roar of a lion has been compared to the voice of God. Are you aware of that? Amos chapter 3 and verse 8. Here's what it says. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? The voice of a lion has been compared to that of God. You see, when you and I take the position of Judah, when you and I fill our mouth with the word of God, we bring God's voice to our circumstance. We let God start talking to lack and poverty and sickness and weakness. We let God start speaking to bondage and breaking down of our family unit. We let God speak to every depressed spirit and oppressed heart. We let God's voice begin to be heard in our family, in our children, in our church, in our city, in our communities. Roar of God's people, Judah. Now go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It happened that after this, the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was outnumbered, outmanned, outpowered. He was in complete defeat in the natural. There was no way he could defeat what had come together in union against him. And so Jehoshaphat had to make a decision. If you look with me into the next verse, go down to verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all ye of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great battle, for the battle is not yours but God's." Listen, I will go to war anytime when I know I don't have to engage the battle. The prophetic word of the Lord came to a generation and said, "Listen, hear all Judah. Don't be afraid or dismayed about what you're facing. And I know these are difficult times. I know unemployment is rising. I know many people have lost much of their savings. I know that there are pressures on every side, but don't be dismayed." The Bible said, don't be discouraged. Don't begin to think that you're not going to make it. Listen, don't be afraid because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. And then verse 17. He goes on to say this, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Now, if you can get this in your mind, they came against them, multiplied hundreds of thousands, and some even think over a million, to Jerusalem or to Judah, that maybe had 200,000 or 300,000, 600 at best, outnumbered almost 2 to 1. God said, don't worry about it. Tomorrow I want you to face your enemy. So he gave them 24 hours to think about it. Now, I don't know about you. I just soon went out there and got the battle going right there. To think about it overnight might have been difficult. But I think he wanted them to hear something. He called them Judah. He called them Judah. He said, I want you to know something, Judah. This isn't your battle, Judah. This is my battle, Judah. I want you to think about it overnight, Judah. And tomorrow I want you to face your enemy, Judah. So they went to bed that night. You go, doggone it, God called us Judah. I got to remember who I am. Sweetheart, remember who we are? We're Judah. We're under the banner of the crouching lion. We're under the banner of the rising sun. My goodness, wait a minute. This enemy's trying to intimidate us. Do you know who we are? Man, they were having revival all night long. They didn't go to bed in fear and trembling. They understood who they were. They came in contact. They got their roar back. Verse 21, or verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. You inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. You shall be established, believe his prophets. And you shall prosper. Now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? I've heard a lot of people say, that's right, you have to have a prophet in your midst to give you a word of the Lord to have a victory. I believe in the prophetic gift of the church, but I don't need a man or a woman to prophesy to me to give me victory. Don't put yourself in a place where people manipulate you, thinking they've got a spiritual gift greater than yours, that if they don't give you this word, you're not going to make it. That's not true. Because in the context of what's written here, we're hearing something that we as a church need to get back into our spirit. Please stay with me. I'm not going to preach you long. But I just want you to hear this today because I want you to get the victory. I want you to get your roar back. I want you to take your collar off. I want you to break free out of your prison. I want you to know who you are. I want you to think about it overnight, that when you face your enemy tomorrow, that you, God is going to do something great in your life. He said, Judah, I want you to believe in the Lord your God. And you shall be established. Believe in his prophets. In other words, believe everything he said. Believe what Nahum said. Believe what Ezekiel said. Believe what Moses wrote. Believe what Jeremiah said. I want you to believe in the written word. And you will prosper. Oh, okay. All right. I got to remember to believe that the Bible's true. Say it with me. I believe.
I believe.
The Bible is true. See, we've got to remember to believe that the Bible is true. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army of the Lord and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. See, this is where we've segregated these two scriptures. We've taken one out of context and then we take the other one out of context. And we don't tie them together contextually or historically, not even prophetically. Understanding that Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah. Ammon, Moab, was talking about the flesh. They were, oh, if I had time, we could talk about all that they represent that was coming against what was written. Who you are. There's an attack upon the very core of who we are. I'm of the tribe of Judah, baby. Jesus is my king, Lion of Judah. And they come against that. Came against that. And Jehoshaphat said, here's what we got to do. You've got to remember. You've got to remember what is written. You've got to remember what the prophets said. You can't forget it. And then in verse 21, he said, after I've consulted with him, I'm going to appoint them to sing. See, he didn't tell you just to sing any old song. Sing an old, a pop song. Sing, oh, something that's on the top 20. Spare me. That's good to listen to entertain me, but that's not for battle. If I've got to go to battle, I've got to have something with meat. Because I'm a meat eater. I tear it and swallow it whole. Because I'm a lion of the tribe of Judah. The only time lions drink milk is when they're cubs. They've got an innate, insatiable hunger. For meat. Oh, these puny little pussycats in the church today sipping on milk and eating tuna fish. Psalm 119 in verse 29 declares, remove from me the way of lying. Read that with me. Remove from me the way of lying. One more time. Remove from me the way of lying. Did you see them Moabites? Gosh, there ain't no way we can beat these guys. They're big. You a lying devil. Oh, we've done it this time. Not only do we have the Moabites, we have the Ammonites and all the Amalekites. They're all coming up against us. I don't know what Jehoshaphat's trying to do. You know what? I think I'm going to transfer and go to me another church somewhere because I just don't think we're going to make it here. Wait a minute. What are you saying? What? Remove from me the way of lying. Yeah, but don't you understand? It's 11.2% national unemployment. Don't you understand? Lorain County, Lorain, 15%. Don't you understand? There's no jobs. That's a lie. No, Pastor, that's my reality. Oh, wait a minute. It was a reality that Ammon and Moab were all coming up against them. But it was a lie that they was going to defeat them. Read it with me one more time. Ready? Read. Remove from me the way of lying. Read the rest of it. And grant me your law graciously. What was he saying? Take the lies out of my mouth and put your law in my mouth. So I can celebrate what is written. When facing impossible odds, church, you have to raise the standard. Raise. It may be tattered and I might be bruised. But I want you to know something. With my life, this standard will not fall to the ground. Because I'm going to celebrate what is written. Regardless of how hungry I've gotten. Regardless of how poor I've become, regardless of how betrayed or forsaken I've been, I'm not letting the standard fall because I'm the tribe. I am of a tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah that opened up the seals, my King Jesus, and I refuse to misrepresent him to a generation of anything but victorious. And glorious and mighty. And I will celebrate what is written all the days of my life. It's time for Judah to raise the standard. Psalm 60 in verse 7 says, Judah is my lawgiver. Judah is my lawgiver. God's word will not be given unless Judah gives it. Psalm 76 and 1, in Judah God is known. Did you know God won't even be known unless Judah discloses her? Psalm 114 and verse 2, Judah became his sanctuary. God inhabits the praises. God inhabits the celebration of his written word. I'm going to tell you though, sometimes offering praise is not easy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Have you ever had to sacrifice? It's easy to sing on a Sunday morning. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Especially for those that drive to church in all their fancy cars. And they got their good looking clothes. And they're walking in. They just had a big breakfast at Denny's. And they're going to go out to eat afterwards. And they're sacrificing a praise unto the Lord. You don't know what sacrifice is all about. Are you kidding me? Sacrifice means this. It's the surrender of something for the sake of something else. Right. Hebrews 13 and 15. Therefore by him let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. A sacrifice is when I don't see it, when I don't feel it, when I can't hear it, when I can't touch it. Yeah. When I can't fill my belly with it, when I don't hear anybody else saying it, it's a sacrifice to say, God, in regardless of what I'm going through, I'm still going to celebrate your written word because I bring a sacrifice of the celebration of what you said to the earth. I'm going to roar in this generation. It's interesting, the word giving in Hebrews 13, 15, it says, therefore, why let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God? Go ahead, put my song on. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what the word giving there means? It means confessing. Confessing. And I pray today that the sound of the lion of the tribe of Judah arise again. Let the sound of the voice of the living God ring loud and clear in our homes again. Let the sound of the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah be heard in Lorain County, be heard throughout Ohio, throughout the Midwest in America. Oh God, to the kings of the jungle. Lord, we live in a jungle. We live in a world gone crazy and gone awry. But God, let us praise you with the sound of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, let's worship him for a minute. Get up on your feet.
So we're singing a new song.
Come on, lift up your hands.
Jesus is coming.
new song, but it's a new song.
And you have shown us, shown
you got to make a commitment this morning, church. I came to church today to find my war. I come to church today to celebrate what God has written. And I refuse to be like people in this generation who stand in defiance of all that Christ paid for. Are we going to hear it again? Will it rise up again? Will it be in our children's church? Will it be in our youth ministry again? Will it be on the platform of our praisers? Will it be in the mouth of the preachers? Will the generation that we serve, will they hear the roar, the lion of the tribe of Judah? That's who you are. That's who I am. I was born into this kingdom. I camp under the standard. We must teach and we must tell one another who we really are. We've lost our identity. It's the biggest identity theft ever. As Jesus arose from the grave, church, you too shall come out. You too and I, you and I shall also be victorious. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Father, I pray for every person in this room right now. I pray, oh God, that we would no longer echo the sentiments of a defeated generation, a confused people. Father, I pray this morning that we no longer, God, would hold back our roars. Father, I'm asking you the first thing that we do. Not the only thing, church. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say it's the only thing. I said it's the first thing we do. To celebrate what's written. Let's celebrate what's written. There's a part in that song, I think it's coming up. You can turn it up just a little bit, that the people of this generation.
He says, well, I have held my peace for a long, 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 long time. And in my silence,
you
thought that I was all together like
I'm going to reveal myself.
And in your heart, you were settled.
I'm going to show
you said, he won't
those who really want to know me, said, I'm going to really reveal who I am in my splendor.
Said, he's dead and gone, but
and
I've
my glory.
Lord, I break everything that can
shake it, Lord, for your kingdom's sake.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Lord.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm just tell him you're ready.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Lord.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, God, to walk in my spiritual heritage.
Are you ready?
To celebrate what is written. To be a praiser.
Jesus,
to be one that celebrates what is written.
People get ready.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is coming.
Yes, Lord. Thank
people
you, Lord.
Get ready.
Giving you
Jesus
all glory and all praise, Lord.
People get ready.
I'm ready, Jesus.
Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's
take
coming.
This song down.
He's coming. He's
take
coming.
It down.
He's coming.
I want you to bow your heads with me for a minute, please. Lord Jesus, we're in this place right now. And we sense, oh God, the voice of this Holy Spirit ministering to us. Lord, in this moment of quietness and stillness, give us courage to fill our mouth with your law and remove lying from my lips. God, I want to operate as a lion. I trust you today, Jesus, that the battle belongs to you. And my role, my position, is just to celebrate what you said. But right now, Lord, we make that covenant. We make that commitment. We thank you, Lord. And we give you praise. You're here this morning with your head bowed and you say, Pastor, I don't know that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven, but I want to know. I've always resisted the church because it just didn't seem to make sense to me. But after today, not because you preached it, but because the word of God came forth, I understand that there is something greater than what I've experienced or seen, and I want to be a part of it. I want to give my life to Christ. Would you pray for me, Pastor? All over this room, if that's you, and you say, yes, I have to have this prayer, it's time for me to make a decision for Christ. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up and identify yourself as far as needing that prayer. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hold it up high enough where I could see it. Thank you. Thank you over there. Thank you back there and over here in the middle. Anybody else? High enough so I can see it. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. This is a moment for you to get in contact with God. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can put it back down. If you didn't already raise it, if you already did, sir, thank you. I saw that now. If you already did, don't do it again. But if you haven't, and you say, you know what? I've got to make a decision today. I got to discover my heritage. I need to know who I am. And I realize now that I am of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you didn't raise your hand, raise it one more time. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Thank you, ma'am. I'm so glad I asked again. Thank you. Thank you up here, sir, ma'am, as well. Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly. This is my last moment I have to ask, and I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Troy. He's going to lead you in a prayer, and this is your moment to be able to find Christ in a new way. In church, in a few moments, you're going to celebrate in your giving, so don't leave. This is an important time. This is an important moment that we're going to find God in a new dimension. And those of us that are born again, I'm going to pray for you as well. I'm going to pray as I'm driving east, 50-some miles. I'm going to be praying that you and I together will let our roar be heard in Lorain County like never before. Like never before, church. Come on, Pastor Troy. Like never before. So just take a few minutes and let's find Jesus, those of you that raise your hand, and let's celebrate in giving. Thank you for your generosity. And if you feel so led of the Lord to help me get to Uganda, I would be so appreciative of any kind of offering that you could give for that as well. God bless you as Pastor Troy.